take your Bibles with me and we'll turn to the New Testament. The first letter that John writes, his first epistle, John, 1 John chapter 3. This is going to be a short meditation this morning because I don't know much about the subject. But I'll be able to go a little bit slower so that Phoebe can perhaps catch up to me. Verse 1 of chapter 3. 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, or sons of God. The word is used interchangeably in the New Testament. Sons or children of the Father, it makes no difference. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let's pray. Father, we have read this portion of your word, and we would like to go beyond the symbols and the syllables and the grammar and grasp, Lord, those eternal truths. And even beyond the eternal truth, Lord, that we might grasp hold of the divine person. So, Lord, we pray you'd help us this morning in our meditation before you. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
What particularly caught my attention as I've been meditating on this probably for 2 weeks now, a little bit here and there. First of all, the statement in verse 2, that now we are children of God, beloved. And here's the first statement. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. There's a mystery to what we shall be like. What is God like? It says the next statement begins by saying that we shall be like him when we see him as he is. That's the second statement. The first statement is, what has not been revealed? Now, it's a hard message to give when it hasn't been revealed. Now, I don't want to use my imagination, because that can run away, our imaginations. I don't want to get into fiction. But there are little clues that are given to us in the scripture of what we shall be, because we shall be like him. What is he like? It hasn't been revealed yet entirely. In other words, there is something about the person of God that is unrevealable yet. We could not possibly ever understand. When Paul, I believe it was Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, was transported into heaven, he said he heard things, saw things there that were not lawful to utter. In other words, there was not language to express what he saw there. there wasn't in the grammar or in the language words or expressions that could describe what he saw. He was given a thorn in the flesh when he came back to keep him humble, because what he saw there might have made him very proud as having alone. The man that has come from heaven has had a vision of heaven. So there are mysteries to those unseen things. What is the Savior like? What is he really like now? In the Bible, we are given three views of God. The first view was when Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." He said he saw the Lord. It was a vision. There's no description. There's a description of the throne and the seraphim that are around that throne, and that's all. Ezekiel was given another vision. He said he saw a form of a man, a form, seemingly human-like somehow. And that's all. Then the whole description, the rest of his description in the first 10 chapters is of wheels upon wheels and living creatures. In other words, there's a living throne, and those wheels within wheels are the governmental workings of God in the universe, wheels within wheels. The complexities of running a universe are seen there in symbolic form. Then in the book of Revelation, John was transported to heaven in a vision, and all he saw was a man of the form. So we're not given any details of what God looks like. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says that no one has seen God at any time. No one. We cannot look on the face of God. No one has ever seen God. But the Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has told him out. He has demonstrated him in a human form what God the Father is like. And the closer you examine this life through the New Testament and the pictures that we get from the Old and the explanations that are given by the apostles in his letters, we get a composite picture of this perfect man, this absolute, you might say, force of love that came from the Father, that painted a picture of a man, Christ Jesus, the perfect man, and displayed God's heart. So that's what God is. Somehow we can't really see him. And even after Christ was risen from the dead, he appeared to his apostles. But he like the two on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were held, so they didn't recognize him. But he seemed like an ordinary man. John, in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, he saw one in the throne. It was a lamb. The symbol of, he doesn't give a picture of the Lord Jesus. We don't know what he's like, but he's given us a symbol, a lamb. That is, as he had been slain. So what I'm trying to grasp here is that what John was writing, it says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That's the first question there. As I say, there are some clues. Romans or 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, before we go to 1 Corinthians, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. where we get a parallel thought that Paul gives us to John's. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven. That is where we are. That's our birthright. That's our place of birth. The second birth. We're heavenly creatures, brothers and sisters. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He's going to transform us like his glorious body. Well, we know that he appeared to his disciples. He came through the walls of an enclosed building and appeared to them. He could transport himself at any great distance from Galilee to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Galilee. This was a glorious body. But it doesn't tell us a lot. Glorious body. What is a glorious body is what I'd like to know. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, what we shall be like him when we see him as he is. Again, a few clues. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul writing to the Corinthians. He compares the new resurrected bodies that we will get, that will be like our Lord's. He compares them to plants that are, the seed is planted. God gives the plant the form that he puts into that seed. He plants the seed, up comes the plant, and God has already determined what that plant will be. So is the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the Christians. God will raise us to a particular form that he has predetermined. Now, what does that look like? Well, he says, verse 41, there's one glory of the sun, there's a glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So there's going to be differences among the believers. That may depend a great deal upon our fellowship with him here, how much we know about him. Not necessarily how much we have done on earth, because a lot of what we do is for self anyway. Let's not fool ourselves. It's what we've done for him, not for ourselves. So that will determine, I think, how brightly some of us will shine. But then he goes on to say, the body, so also is the resurrection, verse 42, of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. These corruptible bodies, here we think of dear Andrea wasting away in hospital, perhaps near the end of her life, we don't know. But we see corruption, and we see it in our own lives. Some faster, some slower, but nevertheless corruption. But there will be incorruptible, an incorruptible being is what we're destined to be. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Dishonor, how we have dishonored ourselves in the sight of a holy God. And yet, we're going to be raised. Those things will be all gone. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more forever. The former things have all passed away. From a place of shame and dishonor, he raises us to a place of imperishable glory and honor in the person of Jesus. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So those are some clues as to what we're going to be like when we see him as he is. The second question is, or the second thought that is, if we turn back to 1 John chapter 3. Again, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Now it's this last phrase that caught my attention. For we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he, can I add a word to that to explain? We shall see him as he really is. As he really is. He appeared to his disciples. He sat by the seashore, had a fire burning and had some fish and some bread on the coals. A fresh breakfast for those hungry fishermen as they fished all night. He was an ordinary man. Their eyes, they didn't see it. They could not see it yet. They didn't have the Spirit. Even Paul didn't really see Jesus on the road to Damascus. He heard a voice, he saw a light, but it blinded him. But he experienced a power there that never left him throughout his ministry worldwide, wherever he went. To see him as he really is, as he truly is. What effect will that be? It will transform us. It isn't a shout from heaven that changes us at the rapture. It's not the trumpet sound. It's when we see him as he is, that will transform us. When we see him, the problem is, in order to see him, we need a spiritual transformation in our hearts to be able to see him. And if we have not truly been born of the Spirit of God, there'll be nothing in us to be able to see him. There'll be nothing. Suddenly our companions will be gone on all sides. Gone. And missed. Some will be left because they have never had a true experience of being born again of the Spirit of God. But those that have already have that Spirit within them that will correspond to the vision when we see him as he truly is. Would be transfigured. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. If the revealing of the Son of God changes the sons of God into his image, the whole creation, that will be what the rapture. When we see him as he is, we're going to be transfigured, transformed, metamorphosed. This old earthly is going to put on the heavenly. This carnal is going to put on the spiritual. We shall be changed. But the whole creation is waiting for this event, that the sons of God might be manifest, the revealing of the sons of God. See, we're first fruits. The church is the first fruits of heaven. Those reaped from the earth, the body of Christ himself, his body. That's why we'll bear his image, because we are his body. And he is the first fruits, and we too are first fruits in Christ. And the whole creation now that groans and travails together, it says there in verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. But they will be freed. That will be the signal of a creation with the curse removed, when the sons of God are revealed. When will that take place? Revelation chapter 19. I believe, first time that the church is revealed to the world will be the revealing of the sons of God, when the curse will be removed, when Christ comes in power and glory and the armies of heaven come out, and there will be revealed not only the bride of Christ, but the very sons of God are going to be there in verse 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. There's the revealing of the sons of God from heaven. After the rapture, there is the wedding. And after the wedding, there's the presentation. And that's the presentation of the sons of God, the children of God, the bride of Christ. And then after the presentation, there will be all rule and authority put down. There will be a new millennial period, a 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the curse is going to be removed. When the creation is groaning and travailing together until now, will be freed. In conclusion, 1 John again, chapter 1, or chapter 3, and verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone that has this hope within them purifies himself just as he is pure. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is pure. And Lord, we don't know what it's going to be like, that revealing of the sons of God. But Lord, we We live that hope. It's a living hope. We hope. It's a sure hope. It's not a wishful hope. It's a certain hope. It's a sealed hope. It's a permanent hope. A hope that is steadfast and sure. And so, Father, we thank you that one day we are going to be like you. And we'll understand it all. Help us, Lord, to live lives of liberty and purity in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.